When 10 voices shout despair over Washington's Giants, will you join the fearful report or stand with Joshua and Caleb and declare an unshakable hope in God's promises for 2026? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington, FPIW.org or FPIWAction.org. Hey, I hope you are enjoying this Hope series. We are going to finish off this week in Hope, and then we're going to go back to Romans and our Old Testament Tuesdays in Ezekiel. So we are going through a time in our state where we are seeing a legislative session gearing up and getting ready to go, and we're seeing budgets and we're seeing over expenditures and we're seeing all these kind of things. And the question is, will we be people of hope, and who do we have hope in? So let's dive into God's word. If you're enjoying these daily devotions, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, or place in that Washington Defender huddle. And finally, if you aren't driving, open up your Bibles and read along with me. But if you are driving, just listen, and we'll have a lot of fun. So our root scripture is, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So we want to encourage you today as you walk in that public square and have a happy new year and all those kind of things. We want to encourage each other through God's word. So we're going to use the story of the spies and the land and from Numbers chapter 13. And let's start here. And we're going to dive in to where and how we report on what God is doing. Now, I'm going to give this this disclaimer up front. I butcher these Old Testament names. I never did learn phonics. So I sight read, I butcher it. I'm just asking you to get over it. And if you know how to say it, then say it right, and we'll move forward. It says in Numbers 13, then the Lord spoke to Moses, send out for yourselves men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give to the sons of Israel. Now, this is important. God says right here to Moses, he says, this is the land I'm going to give you. Go spy out this land, which I'm going to give to Israel, and you shall send a man from each of the father's tribes, every one a leader among them. So the premise from them spying out the land is that God's giving them the land. Write that down, highlight that, think through that, because the report is going to correspond to this. Now remember, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were given this land. These individuals knew that and know that. They had been in Egypt for a long time. Yet they had forgotten, or they have ignored, or they didn't trust God and take God at his word. I don't know, but whatever it might've been, here God reminds them, I'm going to give you this land. So in Numbers 13, 17, it says, when Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, he said to them, go up there into the Negev, then go up into the hill countries, see what the land is like and whether the people who live in it are strong or weak, or whether they are few or many. How is the land in which they live? Is it good or bad? How are the cities in which they live? Are they like open camps or with fortification? How is the land? Is it fat or lean? Are there trees in it or not? Make an effort then to go get some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So Moses sends them up. Now, I'm not incredibly sure if Moses repeated like, hey, God's going to give us this land or not. You know, I don't know that. But I do know the scriptures say that God's going to give them the land. So the spies go out in Numbers 13, 21. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, and these are all the names. And when they had gone into Negev, they came to Hebron, and so they spied out that area. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and from there they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a pole between two men with some of the pomegranate and the figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshkol because of the cluster which the sons of Israel cut down from there. So they spied out the land. They get some fruit like Moses commanded them. And they come back and they give a report. When they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they were in the land for 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told him and said, "We went into the land where you had sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large, and moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living in the sea and by the sides of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." This is where I believe that these spies knew what God had spoke to Moses. Caleb knew the promises of God. And this is important because as you go into this year in 2026, this is our first day, thinking through what has God promised Washington State? What has God promised our family? What has God promised us as individuals? Whatever it might be, what has God promised us as a church? And then taking God at his word. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." This defeatism that the 10 of them had is also the defeatism that we're struggling with in Washington State. We need to be people of hope, and it's not hope in how big the giants are or in our own strength or in anything like that. It's hope in the promise of Almighty God. Do we believe that he who began a good work in us as individuals, as families, as churches, as communities, as people groups within Washington State, that he's faithful to complete it? I believe so. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we had gone in spying out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people who we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim, the son of Anak, are part of the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our sight, and so we were in their sight." So two gave a good report, 10 gave a bad report. This year, what is going to be your report? Is your message going to be a message of hope, of surrender to God Almighty? Is your message going to be one that says, it's not in our strength or in our power, but it's by God's Spirit? So then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we have died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword?" I think we have some of these same attitudes in Washington State. You know, I understand that we are living in a very progressive, liberal time. But greater is Jesus Christ who is in you than he that is in the world. God is the author and perfecter of your faith. God has foreseen each and every one of your days when there was yet one of them. So think through that for a moment. This is not a surprise of the time or the seasons that we're living in. It's the greatest opportunities we have to glorify God, regardless of our circumstances. Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to bondage or to Egypt? So they said to one another, "Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt." Now, the story goes on, and you're going to see that I think that was at verse 4. Yeah, then Moses said to Aaron, and he fell on his face, and Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, of those who spied out the land, They said, come on, the land we pass through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us. So you see that Joshua and Caleb constantly brought people's attention back to the Lord. Not to their circumstances, not to the obstacles, but back to the Lord. And if we want to see transformation in 2026, and we want to be people of hope and inspiration, and we've got to direct people back to the Lord. Heart change is the primary change that we are looking for. So what's our application? What can we learn from Israel? Is our hope in our own abilities, or is our hope in the promises of God? Think about that. Is your hope right now built upon your own abilities? Is our report what God is doing, or is our report what the giants are, how big the giants are? Are we headed in God's direction, or are we headed back to bondage, back to slavery? I want to encourage you, whether as Christians we're in the minority, whether we're just a small remnant, whatever it might be, maybe whether the church is shrinking, I don't know. I want to encourage you that your God is faithful to complete what he started. Your hope is in God and not in government systems or church systems or anything else but Jesus Christ. That is where our hope lies and rests. I want to encourage you to let this be a year where you spread hope and you don't spread despair. Now, does that mean we can't talk about the challenges of being, you know, the smallest of, you know, influence and all that? No, we can talk about those things. The question is, are we going to dwell on those things? Or are we going to overall proclaim the very presence of Almighty God? That's the question. Do we find ourselves dwelling on what we don't have or how big the giants are? Or do we really focus in on how good God is? So let's pray through that today and let this be a year of hope. I serve a God who has always brought down Goliath. I serve a God who has always conquered, who's always won, who's always moved forward, who's brought hope into situations. I serve a God who is faithful. And so I'm going to have an unwavering hope this year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day and the opportunities that take place here in Washington State. Our report is taste and see that the Lord is good. God, you are so good. You're so faithful to your word. You are faithful to complete what you have started. Would you change our hearts from the inside out, oh God? Let this be a year where we come to the surrendering knowledge of Jesus Christ. God, we proclaim that you are greater than any of our circumstances. You are more faithful and above and more powerful than any of the things that we are going through. Lord, bring the church back to a place of repentance, a place of surrender to preach the whole counsel of God's word. Bring peace to Jerusalem and Israel. Go before us, O God. God, surround us with your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. How we need you, Lord, how we need you. And so, Lord, we see the giants. We see the obstacles. We see the judicial system being broken. We see the executive branch. We see the House and the Senate. And we see those challenges that are ahead of us. God, you're bigger than all of them. You're bigger than all those challenges. Would you bring repentance to the House, to the Senate, to Republicans, to Democrats, to independents, God? Would you bring a place where we turn to you, the living God, and surrender our hearts and our minds to you? And God, we want to give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. Have a great day.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.